one to cross the entire country in 99 years. Dun, dun, dun. So while everyone in North America will have the opportunity to see a partial eclipse, the path of the total eclipse will only cross through the U.S., giving the event the name of the Great American Eclipse. Dun, dun, dun. Cue the creepy music, okay? So the path of the totality will cross across the heart of Missouri, and the southern tip of Illinois. So does your house, work, or school fall into the path of the total eclipse? And how long will you be in the moon's shadow? Isn't that a Cat Stevens song? Moon shadow, moon shadow. So will you only be able to see a partial eclipse? Now, according to the map, and I'm having a little bit of trouble with this, it says that it's going to start in Oregon and work its way southeast, which is against the rotation of the Earth, I'm thinking. Or am I thinking wrong? I could be thinking wrong. But I saw that and I thought, how in the hell does that start? Because the Earth rotates, you know, to the east. So if it's rotating to the east for us, then how, if something starts in the west, does it start in the west and end in the east? I don't get it. So if someone that is of scientific mindset would please be so kind as to explain to me how that shit works that way. I'm just not getting it, apparently. But okay, let me double check this, 'cause yeah, it goes from the west and travels down to the southeast. That makes no sense to me whatsoever. So, oh, but just ask Gore. He will tell you. He knows science. Because he knows. He knows. You know, and a lot of people, and I'm trying to think how this, okay, let me. So, and I have noticed that the sun has moved farther northwest, at least for me. I've noticed this. The Inuits have noticed it in Alaska and in the Arctic Circle, all that fun stuff. But so if the Earth shifts to where, and I know I talked about this a couple weeks ago, that would cause the permafrost in Alaska to start melting or start thawing out with that shift of the polar of the axis of the Earth. And it would also cause the western part of Antarctica to go into the freeze and the eastern part to come out of the freeze and to start calving. So, you know, and it would cause the eastern part of the Arctic to freeze and the western part of the Arctic to start calving. Gore is a tick. Or a leech. Yeah, aka parasite class, yes. So, I don't know. I think all of this science shit is just a bunch of smoke and mirrors. Hey, I think Rob Works knows about that, smoke and mirrors. But I'm not getting the whole how it moves from the west to the east. Just don't make sense to me. It's just bass-ackwards. So, unless, you know, something shifted, maybe that was what was prophesized. When the sun rises in the west, maybe that's it. Maybe it is the end of the world. And maybe there isn't a shitting thing we can do about it. Because really, seriously, unless you truly believe that we create our own reality, which, you know, the mind does amazing things, and maybe this is all just a mass delusion, like another video that I shared earlier today in the RLM chat. It was a TED Talk, which I'm kind of sort of pissed at TED Talks right now. I like some of the people that talk, but TED Talks, you pissed me off. Because there was a video about Joseph Campbell that I really, really liked, and I added to my favorites, and it got removed from YouTube because TED Talks claimed copyright infringement shit. And it's like, kiss my what? You butt munches? Nah. Plus, I don't think TED Talks do documentaries? I don't think so. So, any case, put that over there. I just had to get that out. It's like, that doesn't make sense to me at all. Okay. Okay, got to that one. Okay, this is one that Gary L. shared the other day. And it is from educateinspirechange.org. So, you can spot any psychopath by looking for these 8 warning signs. Number one, I know they have their own number one, but number one, are they in politics or do they work for the government in any way, shape, or form? That ought to be at least something that kind of maybe does a little flashy light thing to say, pay attention. You know, that amber light that says either haul ass through that intersection or be prepared to stop kind of thing, you know? So we all get these little uneasy feelings when it comes to even thinking about psychopaths. People detached from human emotion, manipulating people around them. No, thank you. There are tons of psychopaths living in this world unnoticed. Well, probably unnoticed by the masses, I would say. Not sure, or sure, not all of them are murderers or criminals, but that doesn't make them not a psychopath. And if you know someone who meets the following criteria, chances are they are a psychopath. So here's your sign. Are you ready for this? They do not feel guilt. When we hurt someone, we usually feel guilty about it. A psychopath will not feel guilt. I'm so pleased you clarified that, because there's a lot of things that I don't feel guilty about. But when I do cause another pain, I do feel bad about that. Because I really don't like to inflict pain upon others unless they're asking for it. And then I still really don't like it, but I will give them a comeuppance. Number 2, they do not feel empathy. We as humans are usually very empathic towards others, and the psychopath will not be. They cannot understand and do not care to understand the emotions of others. Why? Because others are immaterial. You are only there as a reflection of themselves, or to reflect their greatness. And if you do not reflect their greatness, then you are no longer necessary. I know some people up close and personal like that. Number 3, they love to make people feel guilty. Which, you know, you need to understand that people cannot make you feel anything. They really can't. It's your emotions. You have to be in charge of your emotions. It's only when you cede responsibility to someone else or allow someone else the power over your emotional well-being that they are able to manipulate you like that. And I know it happens to me too, and I know better, and I catch myself, but don't give someone the power to make you feel something that you don't want to feel. Just don't do that. Don't give them that control over you. Now, these people, they pick up a lot of small triggers about everyone in their lives, and they use this sort of thing to get in your trust. They use your vulnerabilities to gain control over you. And one of their favorite things to do is guilt someone and then cash in on a favor. Which, yeah, I have known some of those people. I have learned my lesson the hard way from some of those people. I'm not saying I don't ever get busted, don't ever get burned, but it don't happen near as often as it used to. Number four, they only value themselves. Yes, because they are the only ones that matter in their mind. And, you know, for the most part, that's pretty much the way all of us are. It's just that most of us, or I'm going to go out on a limb and say most of us, don't value ourselves so much that we willingly, intentionally put others at risk. Put that little stipulation there. But with them only valuing themselves, no one else matters to them but themselves and their own well-being. Well, you do need to care about your own well-being, because if you really do wish to help others, if you don't take care of yourself, you ain't going to be here to help others. So you got to have at least that much selfishness so that you can be there for others. Take care of yourself first. Number five, they think they are better than everyone else. Yeah, that whole superiority thing. And I know I have been accused of pulling that shit, and I'm sure it comes across that way to some people. It's not my intent. I may scold people, but I also do so because I've been there, done that, and so I know what it looks like. Just saying. They feel superior to everyone that they encounter, and this is how they're able to dodge guilt and things of a sort. The common person is only here for their amusement. See, and I'd much rather make jokes at my own expense, although some people make it entirely too easy for me to make jokes at their expense. Schittlery comes to mind, and so does Trumpelstiltskin. Number six. They are liars. They lie all the time, even when it's not something that will benefit them. This gives them a false sense of power. And you know, sometimes I wonder, do they even realize they're lying? Or are they to the point in their narcissism, in their psychotic mindset, are they to the extent that they honestly and truly believe it? Once it falls out of their mouth, it's got to be true. I don't know. I've never actually wanted to discuss it with one, and how can you trust one anyway? That's one of those kind of, yeah, six of one, half a dozen of another kind of situations. Number seven, they have appealing personalities. Okay, not all of them do, but I could see where that could be a good generality. Psychopaths are often people who are liked. They are approachable and friendly. Not how they are portrayed in movies. Which, yeah, there are most of the really good psychopaths, the one that hide it very well, are very likable. Look at Ted Bundy. Apparently, he was a very likable. Look at Dangleberry. There's still people out there going, oh, but he was so wonderful. Really? Look at Trumpelstiltskin. Trumple, he's our man. Put him in a garbage can. That's about as far as I want to go with that. Ugh. And finally, number eight, they do not take responsibility for their actions. Wow. Dangleberry comes to mind on that one, and so does Schittlery. Trumpelstiltskin, I haven't paid enough attention to him to, although I'm sure he exhibits this as well. So no matter what they do, it is never their fault. Anything that ever gets put back on them. It's never their fault. So keep in mind, a person does not have to have all of these traits to have psychopathic tendencies, which I really got to point out, everybody's got the tendencies. Everybody does. Don't excuse yourself on this shit. Any given Sunday, someone can be pushed over the edge. You just got to know the trigger. I try not to find those triggers, those buttons. Don't want to pull that trigger, don't want to push that button. Although I am very good at pushing buttons, usually the wrong ones. But everybody has the tendencies. It's, you know, it's that whole argument of the dark wolf and the light wolf that resides in all of us. Which one is the stronger? Which one will win? The one that you feed. So, one or two is more than enough. And it seems that there are a lot more psychopaths out there in this world than we would like to believe. Yeah, there are, because like I said, we all have psychopathic tendencies. It's just that most of us don't give in to them, because most of us do have a conscience. But no, I don't want your newsletter. I will go ahead and share this. Disposable micro drones. Well, wow, flying garbage. How cool is that? Not. What's that? Grocery store stocking robot. No, that was fun. I worked at a grocery store when I was younger, lots younger. And that was fun. It was way cool. You know, we would have races. And you couldn't just throw that shit on the shelves. You had to stock it properly, as in pull forward the old stuff and put the new stuff behind. That is how you properly stock shelves. I don't want a robot to stock the shelves. It's bad enough you got those frickin' cash registers that just scan everything. Those are creepy. Of course, when I worked at the grocery store, we had to say the price of every item as we rang it up. That went the way of the dinosaurs as well. Yeah, I know, I'm telling my age. Oh, well. So, let's see. I got to refresh my Freedoms Network really quick. Because you never know, sometimes I have people trying to chat with me, and if I don't refresh, I don't see it. Okay. I'll put this over here in the corner pocket as well. Who has something in their ear? It's my finger. Hey, Talos, did someone give you a wet willy? I would like to know how that's done. Okay, I already shared that over there. So, let me see. Dun, da, dun, dun, dun. Okay. Let's see. Former VP Al Gory Gory Gooey Gory. I did notice in this video he has lost weight. He used to be very, very large. Very large. He's lost some weight, so that's not necessarily... Maybe he's withering away. One can always hope. Hey, I know, that's just mean of me, but... A lot of times I just wish these people would just go away. Because they bother me. Okay. Now this is another one. I don't remember who shared it. But I threw it in my pocket because I thought, hey, that looks interesting. This is from PrincipiaScientific.org. Top NASA climate modeler admits predictions are mathematically impossible. This is from April the 26th of this year, by the way. You know, seeing as how we had the bloviating blowhard Al Gore, and, you know, talking about psychopaths, here's a little proof in the pudding kind of thing. Top American climatologists, which, you know, they make up words for this kind of shit. Now they have climatologists that are, yeah, because they have a scientific consensus, which does not need proof to have scientific consensus, just so as you know. But this top American climatologist, who is an expert, which is, if y'all don't know this, a former ex and a spurt is a drip under pressure. So, a former drip under pressure in climate modeling exposes the fallacy that current climate models provide a realistic or reliable prediction of future climate change, because you cannot predict the climate, because climate changes as it wishes, because Mother Nature is a hell of a lot bigger than we are. And you know what? If she gets tired of our sorry asses, she can get rid of us really quick. She comes up with all kind of cool things, you know, like super volcanoes or super viruses, and just wipes out like 7/10 of the population. Just bam. Why? Because she can. In a 1-2-3-step guide to disposing of the global warming debate, Dr. Dwayne Thresher says successful modeling with modern computers is mathematically impossible. Kind of, so, you know, this is starting to sound like that video of the guy that supposedly works for NASA, which, you know, you can fake anything anymore. So although it's very convincing looking and it really fits with my mindset, I don't know that that's real. I don't know if that guy is really some guy from NASA or if it's just a faked up video. And he says, well, you know, we lost the technology and it would be just too difficult to get it back for us to get to the moon. Really? I mean, there's damn much fake shit out there. Nothing. It's just something to put out there and to discuss about. And most of the time, I poke fun at it. Just because I can. Dr. Thresher is among the elite of computer climate modelers. I hate that word, elite. I really do. I truly despise it. He's performed extensive work on climate proxy modeling. That's a stand-in. Did this at the University of Alaska and the Alfred Wegener Institute in Germany. He earned his PhD. Yeah. In Earth and Environmental Sciences. Wow, I'm impressed. That's climate modeling / proxies, you know. And also from Columbia University. And at NASA, he worked for Dr. James Hansen, the father, dun dun dun, of global warming, and Dr. Gavin Schmidt. Father. Dr. Thresher offers his step-by-step guide to this silliness. Number one, it is fundamentally mathematically impossible for climate models to predict climate. Why? Because climate is not... You guys can't even predict the frickin' weather. What makes you think you can predict climate? Chaos theory's butterfly effect is usually described as the flapping of a butterfly's wings in Japan, resulting in a hurricane in the Atlantic. This is not artistic hyperbole. This is mathematical reality. Ah! Climate is a quintessential example of this phenomenon. Unless climate models do the absolutely impossible and account for even a butterfly's wings flapping, particularly when they are initialized and then calculate with infinite precision, they cannot predict climate. Wow! In other words, it's just too complex for even them to understand. Climate models are just more, oh hey, see, that's what I just said. They're just more complex / chaotic weather models, which have the theoretical maximum predictive ability of just 10 days into the future. And even that isn't good, especially not out here in the boonies. Predicting climate decades or even just years into the future is a liar, liar, pants on fire, albeit a useful one for publication and cha-ching funding. Qualified climate modelers know all this, but almost all won't publicly admit it out of fear for their careers. You know, kind of like there's an awful lot of anthropology students that know the bullshit they're spewing in about Egypt, about Mexico, about Peru, about Chile, about the Polynesian Islands, about New Zealand, about just about anywhere, actually, is all just a bunch of self-congratulatory bloviating. Oh, we are so much more advanced nowadays with our technology, and we know they just had ropes and pulleys and logs and chisels to build those pyramids, and wow, they were very dedicated at what they did. Uh-huh. Yeah. If it comforts you to think. Mm-hmm. Oy. Number two, climate proxies, excuse me, are far more inaccurate, unreliable, and sparse to prove anything about past global climate that it was colder, i.e. that it was colder. Climate proxies are things like tree rings and ice cores. Given old methods and instruments, even historical climate measurements have been considered climate proxies. And you know those measurements that they get? You have to have properly operating equipment. All you technotards out there know that. If your equipment isn't working properly, you cannot get accurate results. And placement, 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 location, location, location. If you have a temperature sensor, an atmospheric temperature sensor, right beside an asphalt parking lot and a brick building with a heating duct or a vent in close proximity, you are not going to have accurate atmospheric readings. But you'd be surprised how many of those are in very similar situations and locations. Oy. These are called climate proxies because they're substitutes for real climate measures. Obviously, there are no instruments in these climate proxies, so how is it done? The climate measurements have been inferred from loosely related characteristics of the proxy, i.e. temperature from tree ring widths. This usually involves primitive modeling or misuse of statistics. And oh, no, really? Somebody fudging the data? Somebody making the results fit their predetermined conclusion? No, say it isn't so. Yeah, apparently it is thus inaccurate and unreliable well beyond what is required for the conclusions drawn. But it's science! Climate proxies are very sparse. A single measurement often has to represent thousands of square miles or more, particularly in remote ocean regions, and is usually not representative of that area. You know, sampled trees are not chosen randomly, or it doesn't have a knowable bias. Excuse me. Dang it. I need a drink. of water, by the way. Pollen everywhere. Okay, so a single temperature for the Earth average from these measurements is meaningless and absurd. And yet, they have come to a scientific consensus. Yeah. The reasoning for using climate proxies is that there is nothing else, which is not a good reason unless you have to get published or funded. Or you are pushing a political agenda. Number three, scientific consensus is not proof of global warming, just publication and funding bias. Which, once again, I know I discussed this regarding medical published papers and the percentage of positive results compared to negative results on how many papers are published. It's just crazy how many are accepted for publication and how many are not. It's sad. So, scientific consensus equals all published research shows global warming because there is a funding bias. And why is there a funding bias? Because the ones that are funding the research, funding the results, are the ones that are going to greatly profit off of the side industries that are going to come into fruition from all of this wonderful scientific consensus. So the climate model proxy research that does not show global warming will not get published or funded because of non-publication of negative results, no global warming found, fearful self-censorship, conflict of interest, aka a need to get results regardless of validity that further careers, corrupt, fanatical, unqualified working scientists, censorship by established scientists in the fundamentally flawed peer review process, or peers are all too human competitors, and corruption of climate science overall, which corruption of climate science overall should have just been the first one, and that just pretty much said it. Climate science is a corrupt, it is a bastardization of what I would consider what we were taught science to be. Mary B, you got a duck. Yay, Mary B! Let's see. Okay, what? Okay. Let me put this over here in this effing site as well. Holy smokes, I have really prattled on quite a bit. Didn't realize it was that late already. I'm not done yet, but dang. Okay. Hi, Rascal. Hello, baby girl. Okay. Dun dun dun. Let's see. Didn't they make a movie, The Butterfly Effect? I don't remember if I watched that or not. Damn. Okay. What? Okay. Learn to swallow. Damn it. Oh, shit. I just clicked to check my notifications on Facebook, and Bubs just had to share a blackberry cobbler. Yum. I haven't had supper yet, Bubs. That's cruel. That's cruel and inhumane. My story, and I'm sticking to it. Ah, thank you, Patricia. Did you know that you have a choice each and every single day? I choose to feel blessed. I choose to feel grateful. I choose to be excited. I choose to be thankful. I choose to be happy. In other words, you choose your emotions. You choose your attitude every day. Very empowering once you realize that. And you take that control away from other people that wish to manipulate you. Once you realize it, it's really pretty cool. Well, not just realize it, but you also have to work on it. I know. Roll your sleeves up. Damn it. Do it. So, let's see here. Okay, here's another one that I found that I thought was quite fascinating. And I think I found this in the Atom page over here on the Crush and Run. Thank you, Sock. This is from ScienceDaily.com. Did you know that brain cells have been found to control aging? Apparently, scientists at Albert Einstein College of Medicine have found that stem cells in the brain's hypothalamus govern how fast aging occurs in the body. The finding, made in mice, could lead to new strategies for warding off age-related diseases and expanding lifespans. This paper was published online today in Nature, which this article is dated today. Cool beans. Now, in mice, have any of you seen Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the movie? Those were little mice, and they must have had pretty potent hypothalamuses because they was millions of years old, according to the movie. It must be true because I seen it on a movie. The hypothalamus is known to regulate important processes, including growth, development, reproduction, and metabolism. In a 2013 Nature paper, Einstein researchers made the surprising finding that the hypothalamus also regulates aging throughout the body. Now the scientists have pinpointed the cells in the hypothalamus that control aging. It's a tiny population of adult neural stem cells, which are known to be responsible for forming new brain neurons. And did you know that your brain is comprised of over 67% cholesterol? And have you also noticed, not saying it's the cause, because I don't have scientific proof, but there's an awful lot of things that make me go, Have you noticed that with the increase of prescription and taking of statin drugs to control not only your cholesterol levels in your body, which it doesn't just control the bad cholesterol, it controls the good cholesterol as well. But then they also have all of this blood pressure medication, because they say they know the proper range for blood pressure. It's one size fits all kind of thing, not taking into account that each individual body kind of sort of has its own little quirks to it. So there is going to be variation. No, that doesn't matter. Everyone must be fit into these little bitty pigeonholes. But when you stop and think of the increase in statin drugs, usage of statin drugs, and the increase in dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's disease, all kinds of other things that affect the neural pathways. Then you take into consideration the fluoridation of the water and the chlorine in the water, and those are not necessarily good things for your body. Then we found out, what was it, a week or two ago, how a lot of the chemicals in sunblock, You know, those things that are supposed to protect you from the UV rays of the sun so that you don't get burned, so that you don't get skin cancer. Those things, when combined with chlorine, become toxic chemicals. And guess what? City water is chlorinated. So even if you wish to go and wash it off, you're still getting chlorine on your skin. So you're still being poisoned. Even if you don't go swimming in a city pool or whatever that has chlorinated, usually over-chlorinated water, that chlorine still gets you. They're getting you one way or t'other. So here's a little quick pointer. Stop using that shit. Stop using it. Because UV rays, if you actually control how much time you spend out in the sun, if you use natural things like coconut oil, and if you dress appropriately, you know, so you don't look like a leather handbag, there's things you can do to where you don't have to buy that sunblock with all that nasty shit that, when mixed with chlorine, causes all kinds of other issues. I know, I went off on a squirrely tangent. But, back to this. Where was I at? Okay, they pinpointed the tiny cells controlling aging. Dun, dun, dun. This tiny population of adult neural stem cells, which were known to be responsible for forming new brain neurons. Now, our research shows that a number of the hypothalamic neural stem cells naturally declines over the life of the animal. Yeah, it does, Tom. And this decline accelerates with aging. This is according to senior author Dongshen Kai, MD, PhD, professor of molecular pharmacology at Einstein. But we also found that the effects of this loss were not irreversible. By replenishing these stem cells, or the molecules they produce, it's possible to slow or even reverse various aspects of aging throughout the body. Now that is something that Dr. Bruce Lipton talks about. And he is, I believe, a geneticist, and he's also a PhD, and he talks about how your thought processes and proper diet and your brain can recoup itself. So aging is really a dis-ease in the body. Not a disease, a dis-ease. In studying whether stem cells in the hypothalamus hold the key to aging, the researchers first looked at the fate of those cells as healthy mice got older. The number of hypothalamic stem cells began to diminish when the animals reached about 10 months, which is several months before the usual signs of aging start appearing. By old age, or about 2 years in mice, most of those cells were gone. The researchers next wanted to learn whether this progressive loss of stem cells was actually causing aging and was not just associated with it. So they observed what happened when they selectively disrupted the hypothalamic. Why can I not say that? Hypothalamic stem cells in middle-aged mice. This disruption greatly accelerated aging compared with control mice, and those animals with disrupted stem cells died earlier than normal. So could adding stem cells to the hypothalamus counteract aging? To answer that question, the researchers injected hypothalamic stem cells. Every time I try to sound intelligent, I'd go blah, blah, blah. Or even just try and read a $50 word. Hypothalamic. God dang, say that three times fast. Okay, they inject these into the stem cells of the brains of middle-aged mice whose stem cells had been destroyed, as well as into the brains of normal old mice. And in both groups of animals, the treatment slowed or reversed various measures of aging. Ding, ding, ding. Now, the researchers extracted miRNA containing exosomes from hypothalamic sunny beaches in California. Hypothalamic stem cells. I'm just going to skip past that word from now on. And injected them into the cerebrospinal fluid. Okay, so start throwing other ones that I'm going to stumble over. See how you are. They did this into two groups of mice. Middle-aged mice whose hypothalamic stem cells. Son of a gun. Okay, they did this into the ones whose stem cells had been destroyed and normal middle-aged mice. This treatment significantly slowed aging in both groups of animals as measured by tissue analysis and behavioral testing that involved assessing changes in the animal's muscle endurance, coordination, and social behavior and cognitive ability. Huh. The researchers are now trying to identify the particular populations of microRNAs and perhaps other factors secreted by these stem cells that are responsible for these anti-aging effects. And the first steps toward possibly slowing the aging process and treating age-related diseases. Diseases. And you know, the first guinea pigs, human guinea pigs, are not going to be in the general population. You know that, don't you? It's going to be people like Shitlery. You know, or them Rocky fellers. Or them Rothschilds. Okay, so the article is titled Hypothalamic Stem Cell Control, Aging Speed, Partially Through Exosomal miRNAs. Wow, did you really have to title it that? Jeez. And source materials are from the Albert Einstein College of Medicine. So, that is kind of sort of cool. And, you know, you can research different foods out there that are healthy for your body, healthy for your brain. And, what? You don't want a first-gen chip. What chip? Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, you guys are talking computer geek stuff. What? That is not what I intended to share. Did I screw up? Let me see if I can share this again. Pardon or interruption. No? Is that the same thing? That is the same thing. Well, that's... Okay. Yeah, let me share this. Hi, TD. I see you, lady. How are you doing this evening? TD's over here on the effing site. She's so awesome. Awesome sauce. Okay, which one do I want to use? I think I'm going to use the little nursey lady. Yeah, with the little brain sucker. Because that's what they do. They suck your brains. Okay. Hi, Darwin. I see you. Hi, Charles. And what's going on? Okay, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I finally come over and check out the corner pocket again, and Kozu beat me to the duck. Damn it. Damn it. Pouty pout, pout, pout. Okay. Well, seeing as how we've been talking about, junk science and sociopaths and psychopaths and, yeah, messed up shiat from Breitbart.com. Moderate senator shoot down Rand Paul's clean Obamacare repeal bill. Now, what do they mean by clean? That's the first question that pops into my mind. Was it just repeal the Affordable Care Act, period, end of discussion? That's what I would consider a clean repeal bill. So let's see what they got in here. Apparently, Senate Republicans shot down Senator Rand Paul's clean Obamacare repeal bill on Wednesday. The bill failed 45 to 55. Seven moderate Republican senators voted against the clean repeal bill, and the Senate continues to try to coalesce around an Obamacare repeal compromise bill. No, 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 no. Okay, F-bomb alert. No fucking compromise. Repeal it. The government has got no damn business in that. The government should not dictate what businesses you must go through. The government should not mandate, or you are fined, that you purchase a certain product. That's not the government's business. Government is not supposed to be in that business. Oh, wait. It is the government. Apparently, Paul called the bill Obamacare Repeal Conciliation Act of 2017. Well, that very appropriate name. Senator Paul consistently opposed the leadership's health care bill, the Better Care Reconciliation Act, or BCRA, or BCRA. I would have much rather had BRCA, because then it could have been BRCA. But that failed to pass through a procedural vote Tuesday night in the Senate. Paul offered a clean Obamacare repeal bill that would have repealed large sections of Obamacare. Okay, no, that is not a clear repeal bill. Not. The bill is a clean repeal, though only a partial repeal, which is not a clean one. That's a very messy one. Arcane Senate rules prevent a complete repeal from being considered today. Really? So this bill is just the beginning. This bill begins to unravel the nightmare of Dangleberry death care. So let me be very clear here. Large parts of Dangleberry death care remain after this repeal bill. What this bill does, though, is force both sides to come together to find a bipartisan solution during the 2-year transition. The bill gives us a 2-year window for both sides of the aisle to come together to discover how we can get more insurance for more people for less cost. No, every time the government dips even their pinky toe into something, prices escalate and services plummet. Get the fuck out of it. Just repeal it already. Dangleberry death care is hereby repealed in entirety. All the little hidden agenda bullshit included. That's what I want to see come up for a vote. As if it would even do any good, but I would love to see someone have the way woes to step forward and just one little paragraph. I hereby repeal Dangleberry Death Care in its entirety, including all of the Bass Ackwards and completely vile and disgusting little hidden agenda things that were attached to this in this bill that we had to pass before we could read. I hereby declare it totally and completely repealed, rescinded, never to be revived again. Period. End of discussion. Is that hard? I think y'all could understand the wording. It's common, ordinary language. Apparently, the Kentucky senator argued that even with Dangleberry Care, 27 million Americans cannot obtain health insurance, and that half of those citizens cannot get insured because it remains too expensive. That is not including the number of people that lost their health insurance because their employers went, fuck it. You got the health exchange through the government now. They've made it entirely too expensive for us to even offer this, so fuck it, we're not doing it. How many people there? Huh? Paul contends that Congress should change insurance regulations to allow small businesses, credit unions, and professional associations to create insurance pools that would increase coverage and lower costs. Once again, I think Congress needs to back the fuck out of insurance, period. How many of you congressional people, how many of you senators got great big donations from insurance companies? That's what I want to know. How many of y'all are on the dole? Huh? In a way, Paul's bill serves as a litmus test for Republican senators on repealing Dangleberry Death Care. All current GOP senators, except for Senator Susan Collins, a Republican of Maine, voted for a similar Dangleberry Death Care repeal bill in 2015. Only Senators Collins and Lisa Murkowski voted against the motion to start a debate on repealing it on Tuesday. Paul's bill will show how many senators truly want to repeal Dangleberry Death Care. Y'all want to make something that applies to we the people? Make it apply to yourselves as well. If it does not apply to you as well, then trash it. Run it through the shredder multiple times and then burn it before we shred y'all, because this is bullshit. Apparently, the conservative activist group Americans for Prosperity and Freedom Works urged Republican senators to vote for Rand Paul's clean Obamacare repeal bill, which, you know, now that I see what the hell it was, I'd have voted against it. If I was working in that zoo, I'd have said, fuck you. Either full repeal or none. Period. End of discussion. It's none of our business. We need to get out of the business of doing this shit. And why in the hell is the IRS in charge of this shit? Just another way to extort money from people. In other words, you get to keep a little bit less of what you work your ass off to make. Once again, dispose of the monetary system. Period. Just dispose of it. I'm sick of it. Oy. Apparently, Senate Republicans will continue to offer different amendments and substitute legislation to try to come around to a compromise to Dangleberry repeal and replace bill. And you know what? This is all job security for their sorry asses. The more they bicker and whine and go to committee and come up with different amendments and substitute legislation and compromises that aren't really compromises, you know, like, oh, well, you know, we cut the budget because we cut 2% out of the projected 4% increase in spending. So we cut the budget. No, you didn't. Doublespeak. Apparently, many analysts speculate that the Senate will try to pass a skinny repeal bill that would repeal Dangleberry's individual and employer mandate, as well as Affordable Care Act's medical device tax. After which, Congress can create a conference committee. Oh, here we go. Fucking committee. Between the House and the Senate to reconcile the differences between the House-passed American Health Care Act, or ACK, and the bill that passed through the upper chamber. Yeah, something passed through the upper chamber, in other words, the small intestine, and now it's going through the lower chamber, or the large intestine. Either way, when it finally comes out, the colon and the old poop chute, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be shit. And it ain't going to be worth for wiping your ass because it's just going to be entirely too rough. Senator Paul contends that even after repealing Dingleberry Care, he remains committed to working with his Senate colleagues to replace it with free market alternative. You know how you replace it with free market alternative? Get the fuck out of it. Leave it alone. Step away from the legislation. Put the pen down. Paul charged, of course, this isn't the last word. Some may want more repeal, and we can try that. Some have different replace ideas. I'm one of those people. Oh, single finger salute is flying high right now from both hands. And we have to keep working on that. No, no, you fucking job security. Bullshit. Today, let's pass a repeal. One with a 2-year window to wind down. Yeah. In other words, give you some time to squirrel away some more ill-gotten gains before the people with pitchforks and torches show up at your door. Oh, and let's do what we told the American people we would do. Okay, either you do one or you do the other. But when you say that you're going to do what you told the American people you would do, this partial repeal ain't that. A replacement ain't that. And the people need to stop looking to the government to take care of you. Because all they're going to do is take. Apparently there are some, especially on the other side or in the media or both, who ask, can Republicans govern? I want to ask, should they? And my response is no. Senator Rand Paul concluded that that's a good question. I say yes. Why? Because you're a Republican, that's why. But I will tell you this. It's hard to say yes if we can't do something as simple as keeping our word. Well, you know, if you had your fingers crossed behind your back when you gave your word, is it really your word? Apparently it's supposed to be as simple as voting today how we voted before when we were asking to be in charge. If you tell people that you're going to do something, do it. It's just that simple. Let's repeal Obamacare. Okay, finally, something I can agree with. If you tell people you're gonna do something, do it. It's just that simple. Repeal Dingleberry Death Care. Period. End of discussion. Done. Get the fuck out of it. You got no business being in that business. What is that? Oh, I'm catching up on. Da-da-da. Catching up on the chat over here. Oh, Mary B. Actually, employers are not responsible for healthcare plans for their employees. But a lot of times, instead of paying their employees a higher wage, they provide them with health insurance that that the employer covers a certain percentage of the premium, and then the employee only has to pay a small amount of the premium, monthly premium. In a perfect world, that's the way it was supposed to work, although actually in a perfect world, you wouldn't need any of that shit, but I digress. Employers are not required to provide it, but it was an incentive. It was, you know, a Benny, part of the Benny package. You know, if you worked full-time, then you got vacation, you got sick leave, you got personal time off, you got insurance, you know, depending on what kind of insurance, you know, and depending on the company, if they self-insured or, but you can't do any of that shit now because of Dangleberry Care stepped in and ruined the day for it was an imperfect system to start with. So, And yeah, agreed, Rob Works, agreed. And no, they don't teach kids to set that money aside to cover your medical costs. And you know, my medical costs are really go the eye doctor, because quite frankly, I still need glasses. That's pretty much my medical costs anymore. Oh, and I had a filling that I need, because, yeah. But it was not one of those metal fillings. It was a metal filling that fell out, but they did not replace it with a metal filling. Booyah for that. But, yeah. Sucky, sucky, suckage. Other than that, I just pretty much, I try to eat right, and I do my oils. There is something on my page. Ah. Okay, thanks, TD. Cool. Let me look here. Oh, this is just a big grr. It's just a great big load of, where's that steaming pile of poo with flies? That's what that is. An old Dangleberry death care crap. Okay. Okay, Miss TD. And you are quite welcome, Mary B. Okay. Yes, where am I going? I'm scrolling. There it is. Hi, Estrella. I see you. Ah. And I see something over here on the RLM as well. Ah, cool. Okay. Oh, how? You know what? I'm just about out of time on this Wacka 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 Doodle Wednesday. Y'all been listening to Grammy's Rocket Chair here on RealLibertyMedia.com, Channel 3. Hi there, Adri. I see my beautiful niece, Adri. Ah, she's such a sweetheart. And my also equally beautiful niece, Caterbug, honey, I saw your profile pic, but your hooty hoots away, girlfriend, you ain't post have those yet. You're too damn young. I said so. What? Oh. See, there's another damn duck. Damn it. And I missed it. See, Rob, that happens to me occasionally. If little buggers don't want to give me a hug, then yeah, shoot their sorry asses. Oh, it was Duck Aside via Rob Works. It wanted to commit suicide, but it just couldn't pull the trigger itself. So it decided not to hug Rob so that Rob would shoot it. Damn it. It's a sad, sad world. Okay, I am really close to the end, so I'm going to come over here to the pig and see what happened this date in history before I get the hell out of Dodge. Or whatever. Wait a minute, let me see this. Okay, going back to the pig. Y'all need to go over and check out the pig of the day. Or pick of the day. I'm not going to do it. Whoa. Okay, this date in history. July the 26th, 1983. E.T. gets a tad carried away with his once every millennium kegger in outer solar system. Accidentally thrills curious humans with light flashes on Jupiter's moon, Io. Aha! Ooh! This date in history, the 26th of July, 1990. Notice how I twisted it backwards that way? Bush 1 travels that road to hell that's paved with good intentions when he signs the Shyster Full Employment Act, Americans with Disabilities Act. Yeah, that was another one. Never, ever, ever does what it says it's going to do. Always does the exact opposite. Just count on that. And finally, this date in history, the 26th of July, 1993, when they spot Paul Rubens with his Pee Wee Herman flapping in the breeze in an adult movie theater, the cops give him a room with no view in the great local Gray Bar Hilton, which, okay, I've got to ask. In a porno movie theater, isn't that what you expect to see? I mean, isn't that why people go there? To relieve some pressure? So why did Pee Wee Herman get to go to the Gray Bar Hilton? And, you know, just for doing what, okay, pun intended, comes naturally in a porno theater. Although I wouldn't go in one of those places anyway, but whatever. Yeah. I'm totally confused. Oh, shit. Okay, just a few real quick. You guys got to go over to the pig today. Quotes taken from actual federal employee performance evaluations. Number one, since my last report, this employee has reached rock bottom and has started to dig. I'm thinking that's a senator. Number two, since men would follow him anywhere, or his men would follow him anywhere, but only out of a morbid curiosity. Ah! Number three, I would not allow this employee to breed. Wow! Number four, this employee is really not so much of a has-been, but more of a definite won't-be. And number five, works well when under constant supervision and when cornered like a rat in a trap. Yeah! Wow. And there's lots more. There's like 34 of them. So go on over to pigazette.com and check out their quotable quotes and tasty tidbits. Cause yeah, they got a bunch of them. Wee-haw. In any case, I will be back Friday for the Freak of Friday edition of Grammy's Rocket Chair. And I will also be around, knock wood, this weekend for the Dork Table. So, hey there. Wee-haw. I hope I'm back on a regular schedule. I just hate being irregular, don't you? Oh, well. Y'all been listening to Grammy's Rocket Chair here on RealLibertyMedia.com. Also on the RLMRadio.xyz site. Lots of other RLM sites. Also on the RLM Spreaker channel. Later to be on the RLM YouTube channel. And the RLM SoundCloud channel. Okay, gotta do the quotable quotes before I get the hell out of here. The most urgent necessity is not that the state should teach, but that it should allow education. All monopolies are detestable, but the worst of all is the monopoly of education. That was Friedrich Batiste. So, Y'all have an absolutely amazing rest of your wacka 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 doodle Wednesday and a splendiferous shit day. Sure, happy it's Thursday because the next day's Friday. I was kind of short weekend it here, so wee-ha. Remember, I truly do love you all, and I wish you all